I was going to have our team sit down, but if they don't mind staying up. I want to thank them for being with us this morning. And thank you all who shared your expressions of praise and worship. Please have a seat. I see our time is going away on us. And I'm smiling because for all the work and effort and time and hours and papers all over my house for what I'm to say now, I've been begging God, what do you want your people to know more than anything else? And I had lots of approaches, lots of outlines, lots of ideas. I'm out of printer ink. And we just finished singing that song, Break Every Chain, Break Every Chain. And it's exciting to me because this morning I woke up and God said, this is what I want you to tell them. And it is in line with everything he's been telling me, but he distilled it down and he tightened it up. And I saw a story in a way I've never seen before, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. So bear with me just a few more minutes. My earliest memories of church was a little country church in Winfield, not too far away. I lived there from 2 to 5 years old, and it's funny, when we moved to Ponoka, I had no idea that Winfield was just around the corner. No idea at all, for years. But I remember standing beside my mom while she was singing, or kneeling with her on the prayer bench, which was tricky when you're 4 because you can't see over the pew. But my dad was a preacher. A few years later, we moved to Toronto, where my dad did prison work in the Don Mills jail. He was a chaplain. He worked with men out of prison in a halfway house. And we went to a high Anglican church that had the most amazing pipe organ. And that's where I learned to fall in love with holy, holy, holy. I hope there's a pipe organ in heaven. I'm counting on it. We then moved to Haida, or Hada, on the Queen Charlotte Islands, which is now known as Haida Gwaii. And I remember pedaling furiously the old pump organ while the Haida people got together for praise and worship. The women would sing in a way I've never heard since. They would slide up to their notes and slide down to their notes. It was amazing. And then the Haida grandfather or the chief, we called them chinnies in the Haida language, they would beat their drum. Haida at the time was a largely unwritten language, so I learned little bits of Haida, and I will not grace you with it this morning. But as an adult, I've been in churches with no instruments. I've been in churches that have lights and rock bands, guitars only, organs only. What are your memories over the years of church culture and style? There was a time when, in the churches, only the professional musicians sang. There's open-air meetings, revivals. When I just began leading worship, probably about 20 years ago, a young 11-year-old came up to me and said, you know, EJ, I cannot worship without the drums. And I thought that was interesting because after the same service, a senior came to me and he said, you know, EJ, I just cannot worship with those drums. It puts you in a bit of a quandary as a worship leader. But I think God was actually blessing us when he gave us so many different ways to praise him. We are different personalities. Some of us are the Shabak. I had a friend once who, if he saw you on the street, he would yell the word glory so loud that I would be just wishing nobody saw me and that I knew him. Oh, it was embarrassing. He'd been saved from a really tough life, and you'd see me go, glory! And I'm like, oh, hi, Steve. How are you? We're different personalities. There's something for all of us to express to our Lord, our thanks for his work in our lives and his works to come. Some of us are uncomfortable with dancing and outward expression, and some of us feel stifled when it's just quiet. So what I want to share with you this morning is our outward expression of worship should reflect the focus of your heart. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman, he said, yes, there's a time you were worshiping here and on this mountain and in the temple, but I'm telling you, there's going to come a time when I am seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. So that means we are worshiping anywhere. Our hearts need to be right when we bow down to the Creator. I'm going to read you a story. Paul and Silas are in prison. Once when we were going to a place of prayer where we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days, and finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundation of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke of the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before him. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison, and now they want to be rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. I want to leave with you just a couple quick points, and I'm going to call it the cascade of praise. What your praise can start. I never saw this before when I read this. But there was a woman in bondage spiritually and physically. She was a female slave, and she was given some freedom. And because of that, Paul and Silas were stripped, beaten with rods, severely flogged. They were put under guard into an inner cell in stocks. So just imagine for a moment, what if that was you? You're hurting, obviously. The Bible says a little further on, they were wounded. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wow, I'm not sure that would be my first response. It also says that they had the attention of their fellow prisoners. They didn't just hear them. It didn't just say the prisoners heard them. It says the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all at once, prison doors flew open and everyone's chains became loose. Isn't it interesting that this is an example of where God enthrones or inhabits the praise of his people? In this praise, in this unlikely place, in this midst of physical pain and no doubt a lot of questions, they turned their attention to the Lord. And they were praying and they were singing. The poor jailer, he gets there and he thinks, oh, I'm done. All these, can you imagine all the doors just swinging open? It's dark, so he can't really see what's going on, but he is aware that there might not be any people in those cells. You know, his first question to them is, how can I be saved? So the first thing after this praise, God's amazing intervention, the first thing that happens is there's an explanation of the gospel. God opens some doors. It's interesting to me that after this happened and they presented the gospel, their salvation and baptism of the jailer's family, and then he took care of all their wounds, all their physical needs, all the things that would have needed tending, especially in that atmosphere, in that environment. And then the jailer took them to his house and he fed them. Now, this is the part that makes me smile. So without getting really involved, the magistrates are like, okay, go let them release. Paul and Silas are like, no, we're not letting you off that easy. We're Roman citizens, and look what you did. So tone totally changes, does it not? And in the end, Paul and Silas are released. They are appeased. They are escorted and requested to please leave the city. I want to just tell you one other thing that happened. After they left the prison, they went to Lydia's house. A couple chapters ahead, Lydia has just been saved, her and all her house. So here is a brand new believer, and this cascade of praise has led to conversion, baptism, a chance to minister, a proclamation to the magistrates, and then to Lydia, encouragement to a new believer. You do not know, and I do not know, the power when we praise God. We do not know the cascade of praise. We might never know on this side of heaven's door. But this example shows us that trusting the Lord in a very hard situation, turning our attention Godward, is a powerful way to live. We're just going to sing one more song before the kids dance. I'm just going to ask Glenn to put up a slide. Here is a list of attributes, characters, and works of God. Just look at it for a second. Say each word to yourself and think, the God that I'm worshiping, what need of mine is he meeting right now by his character? And I'll give you an example. Is he your father? Is your life in a lot of chaos and you need a sustainer? Do you need mercy? Do you need a savior? This Jesus we're talking about, he died on the cross for you so you wouldn't have to have the penalty of sin and so you can be God's child. And when you worship him, you can worship him with adoration in your heart for what he's done and what he will do. Is he the creator? We saw some amazing photography and dance. So what I want you to do right now, I want you to stand when I read out one of these names. at the character, attribute, or quality, or action of God that ministers to your heart right today, so that you're connecting and engaged right today. Father, peace, truth, sustainer, redeemer, everlasting, all-powerful, good, warrior, light, righteous, holy, provider, defender, wise, unchanging, healer, defender. I might have said some of these. I'm sorry. I might be overlapping. Doesn't matter. Joy, refuge, faithful, compassionate, love, merciful, glorious, creator, king, just, infinite, savior, gracious. He's that kind of great I am. He is everything you need. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that the Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of his being. Jesus Christ is all those things.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. Glory in creation. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Amen. That's a shabak.